Small actions can have big benefits, like how taking care of your gut can support whole body health. That's why at Daily Wire, we're excited to partner with Seed. Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just two little capsules a day. Your body is a complex ecosystem, and your gut is the central hub. Nurturing and supporting the healthy bacteria in your gut is not just important, it's crucial for the foundational health of all your body's systems. Stay informed and stay healthy. But no need to take my word for it. Seed's DS01 Symbiotic was developed in collaboration with Seed's scientific board based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. With new clinical trials and groundbreaking research published in top scientific journals, Seed's probiotic research, development, and innovation programs ensures that DS01 is a product that you can rely on with confidence. Their subscription service easily builds DS01 into your routine with no refrigeration needed at all. Trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/wire and use code 25wire to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off at seed.com/wire with promo code 25wire today.
Different universities are dealing with pro-Hamas demonstrations in different ways. At Chicago's Northwestern University, the administration negotiated a deal with the protesters. The university agreed to hire two Palestinian faculty members and supply them each with five co-eds as wives, along with two alternate wives to replace any wives who turn out not to be virgins, and then three more alternate wives to replace the other wives who turn out not to be virgins, and then just more and more alternate wives because, after all, these girls are from Northwestern. In return for these concessions, the protesters agreed to leave campus long enough for the university's Jewish students to make an escape attempt, whereupon the protesters will suddenly come back. Other universities dealt with the demonstrations in ways that were more controversial. For instance, at the University of Florida, the administration called in the police to spray the protesters with tear gas and then mow them down with machine gun bullets, which many felt was a flagrant waste of tear gas. At Columbia University in New York, school president Manoush Shafiq hit on a hybrid method of de-escalation after protesters occupied a building and refused to leave until Israel stopped the genocide so Hamas could murder all the Jews. Ms. Shafiq began by begging the protesters to please, please go away so the other students could enjoy their graduation until they realized they had plunged themselves into crippling debt for no reason. When that didn't work, Ms. Shafiq threatened the protesters with suspension, then asked them to please, please forgive her for threatening them with suspension, then said she would never call in the police, then called in the police, then regretted calling in the police, then attempted to make amends by offering an all-expenses-paid fact-finding trip to Gaza, but only to Queers for Palestine, since that would save money on return trip tickets. In the aftermath, Columbia has ordered an investigation into the root causes of the disturbances. The investigation will be led by Columbia professor Mufasa Intifada Jihad, who teaches a course on decolonization in which students are taught how to video themselves committing rape and murder, then how to brag about committing rape and murder, then how to declare they never committed rape and murder, but if they had, it would have been justified because, hey, that's decolonization. In an interview with the New York Times, a former newspaper, Professor Mufasa Intifada Jihad told Times reporter Jihad Intifada Muhammad, quote, "It's a mystery why so many students majoring in critical Jew hatred should behave in such an unseemly manner. I suspect many of them are actually outside agitators, or will be until we offer them faculty positions. Then they can join me in investigating why these protests were handled so badly that many Jewish students were allowed to get out alive." Unquote. The protests are also causing headaches for the White House. President and venal houseplant Joe Biden reacted to the unrest by issuing a strong statement to the woman assigned to help him walk without falling over. The statement reads, quote, "Throughout my life, I have always upheld those moral principles that would keep the money rolling in from the family influence peddling business. And today, I stand firmly against anti-Semitism, unless that's all right now, in which case I'm for it. I condemn Hamas for wanting to commit genocide on the Jews. And I condemn the Jews for fighting back, which is also genocide, if that word means something entirely different than it used to mean back in the days when words meant things. In conclusion, I will be sending Vice President Kamala Harris to New York because I just can't stand that cackling laugh of hers for even another minute. Once she's there, I will ask her to resolve this unrest just as she helped close the border. Then I'll send her to pretend to do some other thing because really that noise is driving me crazy." Unquote. In Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu also issued a statement saying, quote, All Israelis know we can rely on the Gentile nations to treat us with their customary level of kindness. And that's why we'll be killing anything that even looks at us crosswise for the foreseeable future. Trigger warning, I'm Andrew Klavan, and this is The Andrew Klavan Show. All right, we are back laughing our way through a CIA coup of the American government. Today I'm going to be talking about an essay I wrote. Every month I write an essay on my Substack with Spencer Klavan, no relation. It's called The New Jerusalem. It's at thenewjerusalem.substack.com. And this essay is things I've talked about on the show before. It's called Anti-Semitism is the Devil's Flagpole. But a lot of people say it clarified things I said on the show. And since I will be talking a little bit about that essay later on in the show, you might want to take a look at it. I think you'll love the site if you're missing. You're really missing something. Also, The House of Love and Death, The Last Cameron Winter Mystery, is the Kindle sale of the month. It is now available at $2.99 through May. And it's also on sale at Audible for $6.99. So if you want to get ready for the next installment in the Cameron Winter series, which I think comes out in October. It's called A Woman Underground. This is a good time to do it on the cheap. Finally, you should be watching us on Daily Wire Plus. You know, anybody can watch us on Daily Wire Plus, and there are no extra commercials or anything like that, and that's a great place. YouTube, you can, of course, watch us too if you don't want to just listen, if you want to see my beautiful face there hovering in front of you like some kind of nightmarish vision of things you don't want to be hovering in front of you. You can also get all our stuff there, and that includes the interviews that I do that are also on our RSS feed. Last week's interview was with the great and terrible Bill Whittle, or Whittle, Wizard of Whittle, as we call him, Bill Whittle. Next week's is with Stephen Meyer, who is a philosopher of science who deeply believes in God and thinks science is basically proving his existence. If you leave a comment and the comment is so despicable that even the Groypers look at it and think, oh my God, we will read it on the air, because if being as despicable as the Groypers is what we're trying to do here, today's comment is from Superimposed Tab. Comment, the Klavanless week is dark and full of terrors. That was the last comment we got from him, and we haven't heard from him again, obviously, a report from the scene. So let's get to today's episode, Target Liberty. First, I want to begin with a shout out to the NYPD. I love those guys. I've always loved the New York City police. They are great, great police. I mean, really a paramilitary organization, just a fantastic organization. They treat tourists well. They treat people well. They treat everybody but the bad guys well. They, of course, are being crippled by this idiot Alvin Bragg and the Soros prosecutions things and the defund the police. A brilliant, brilliant idea. But I just love them. They did a great job clearing out the violent protesters from Columbia University. They are just incredibly, incredibly well-trained, excellent police force. So now we're going to talk about the strategy behind this steady and unrelenting attack on Western freedom. All right, let me tell you about the perfect gene. And there's a reason it's called the perfect gene. It's because it's the perfect gene. Before I found the perfect gene, I was sad in my genes. I didn't look good in my genes, you know? But these genes offer unparalleled comfort without compromising on style or functionality. The perfect gene offers waist sizes from 26 to 50. I'm around 50, I guess, and lengths from 26 to 38. They perfectly fit your body and accentuate it. Well, in my case, they accentuate the beauty of my form. What they'll do for you, well, they'll probably do it for you too if you have any beauty of form. The perfect gene doesn't stop there. They've revolutionized t-shirts too. Their perfect tee is as soft as butter and doesn't shrink in the wash like your other tees. It's finally time to stop wearing stiff and uncomfortable jeans by going to theperfectgene.nyc. My listeners can use code Klavan15 at checkout to get 15% off their first order, plus free shipping, free returns, and free exchanges. Get 15% off at theperfectgene.nyc with promo code Klavan15. After you purchase, tell them you found them from the Andrew Klavan Show. That's theperfectgene.nyc with promo code Klavan15. You will like them because they are the perfect gene. Chapter 1, SOBs and NPCs. Let's, because nothing in our country is put into context because it helps the left if everything just seems like we're like goldfish. You know, we're like goldfish in a bowl. You know, oh, there's a plant, there's a plant, there's a plant, because goldfish supposedly have no memory. That's what we're like. We have no idea what's going on in any given moment, and we're constantly being distracted by other things. But actually, only one thing is going on, an assault on our freedoms by a coalition of people that you would think hate each other, but they don't. And that's a very interesting thing, and that's part of what I'm going to talk about. So let's remember, right, October 7th, Iran, a terrorist nation whose purpose is to destroy the West in the name of their version of Allah, attacked Israel, the cat's paw of the West in the Middle East, through their surrogates, Hamas, who rule Gaza after murdering the opposition there and killing anyone who gets in their way, because they are Iran, who wants to destroy the West and take full power over everything. Now, remember, our freedom is their blasphemy, right? They want a Sharia law government over the world, a caliphate over the world, and the Israelis are first, the rest of us are next. And as part of this plan, they sent Hamas, who is Iran, to rape women to death, innocent women to death, raping them again and again until they died, to butcher babies, little children whom they butchered laughing and bragging about it, and then took and then murdered adults and women and, you know, children in front of their parents, parents in front of their children, while videoing it and calling home to brag about it, and then took over 100 hostages, including American hostages. Now, you know, there was a time when American hostages were considered something you should not take because you would deal with the wrath of America. Are they dealing with the wrath of America? I don't think so. Almost surely, as I'm speaking to you now, those American hostages are being raped and murdered if they're not already dead. What was the purpose of this plan? Iran knows that what would happen next is Israel would respond in force. Who would not respond in force? What country can you name who would not respond in force to such an attack? They knew exactly, we all knew what was going to happen next. We also knew the world would sympathize with Israel for about 15 minutes and then stop. They would stop because they would be getting a ceaseless stream of media visuals of how ugly war is. War is ugly always. Innocent people get killed always in war. This is a war that had to be fought for Israel's survival in order that they don't move on to the next country and the next, which is what their plan is. That is what they want to do. So they knew that soon the media, who hates Israel because the media hates the West, would be saying, oh, sad Gazans, and women especially would be going, oh, sad Gazans, and they would think, oh, now the Jews have gone too far. The Jews can't go too far, really. They should hunt down every single one of these people and kill everyone. Now, remember intersectionalism. Intersectionalism is the idea that no one can do evil if he has less power as a group than the people above him, right? So it's always some kind of rebellion. But the Jews are exempt from intersectionalism, even though they are the most oppressed people in the history of the West. No one ever anywhere has been oppressed like the Jews have been oppressed, murdered, chased, exiled, excluded, anything you can think of has happened to the Jews. But they represent the West. That makes them white adjacent. And if you're white or white adjacent, you have too much power and anyone can do anything to you and you don't even get sent to prison and you don't even have to put up bail. All right. Because of intersectionalism. Now, as far as Iran is concerned, the civilians dying in Palestine are NPCs. They do not care. They does not care about the civilians. They're NPCs. They're non-playable characters whom Iran, who is trying to destroy Israel and then us, is using to gain sympathy for Hamas, which is Iran, who is trying to destroy Israel and then us. This is what's happening. This is the context of it, so they can continue to wage war on the West. Now, the same thing is true of our college campuses. The students are NPCs. They won't be expelled or seriously punished because they were created by leftist professors to do what they're doing, which is support Iran in their war against Israel, America, and the West in general. That is what they're there for. They are just like the NPCs, the non-playable characters in video games, right, who just have a certain amount of programmed movements and motions that they make and words sometimes that they say while the real thing is going on, which is Iran through Hamas, through the left, trying to destroy the West. Now, Let me explain to you why. I want to give you an example, and you probably haven't heard this anywhere else, of why when you look at the press, when you look at every mainstream media outlet, and I don't want to say mainstream, every media outlet virtually, why you are hearing this narrative that is being put out by Iran, who wants to kill you and take away everything you have and your freedom, why you are hearing Iran, which is Hamas, put in the same place as Israel, which is a free democratic country who doesn't want to kill you, who wants to be free and is a free democratic nation. At Northwestern, before the administration caved in and gave them what they wanted in order to stop the please, please go away, in order to stop them from protesting, which they won't, they'll come back and protest again. A professor of journalism at Northwestern, Stephen Thrasher, of the Medill School of Journalism, came out to the protesters and gave a speech. And the speech was called, "Our Work is Love." This is the guy who teaches the students at Northwestern who want to become media people, who want to be the journalists who read in the newspaper or see on TV. This is the guy who teaches them how to be journalists. And this is what he said. And this is online. I don't know if you can still find it. If you can't, let me know and I'll publish it. "Good afternoon, Liberated Zone of Northwestern University. You are the frontline defenders of humanity, not just in Gaza. You are the barrier that prevents the terrifying flood of blood from sweeping away the innocent everywhere. Gaza is just the beginning. Push the rock uphill. Swim against the current. If necessary, be the current, be the rock, be the mountain. But beware of retreat and surrender. The wall that protects children and the innocent in Gaza and the world will collapse after that. You are the heroes our children should look up to." So you might look at this and think, wait a minute. This guy is teaching journalism at Northwestern, which is a big, important school and also a big journalism school. This is the guy who's teaching them how to be journalists by supporting Gaza, which is Hamas, which is Iran, who is trying to kill us and our freedoms. That's the guy who's teaching them. So you might think, well, why isn't he teaching them about objectivity? Well, he answers the question. "To the Medill students and journalists within earshot," he says, "I say to you, our work is not about objectivity." He's talking about journalism. "Our work is not about scooping one another. Our work is about you putting your brilliant minds to work and opening your compassionate hearts and linking your arms together, understanding all of our fates are interconnected. Our work is love." This is what's going to these students' heads and into journalists' heads, and then they get jobs because they're from Northwestern, which is a very big university with a very big and important prestigious journalism department. They get jobs at the New York Times. They get jobs at Emma Tucker's Wall Street Journal, and they cover these protests sympathetically. Why? Because their work is love. It's not about giving you the facts. It's not about anybody who looks at these facts would see that Iran is Hamas, is trying to destroy Israel only to destroy the West, only because it's the cat's paw of the West in the Middle East. And anybody would say, oh, these people raped women to death, murdered people. They abuse their own women every day in Gaza. Women are treated like garbage in Gaza. Queers for Palestine would be hanged and killed in Gaza for being queers for Palestine or anywhere else. So, but that's okay because they have a vision, which is that the West needs to fall. So professors train these students to be mindless NPCs for anti-American protesters. Remember, a lot of the people doing these protests are not students at all. They're what they call outside agitators, leftist chaos merchants, right? And these NPCs go on to be NPC journalists. They know how to report. They know how to do what this guy just told them. I was only just barely joking in my opening about the deal that Northwestern made. Northwestern will fund this is to end the protests in favor of Hamas, who is Iran, who wants to destroy Israel and then America. Northwestern will fund 2 visiting Palestinian faculty members for at least 2 years, scholarships for 5 Palestinian undergraduates, and a safe space for Middle Eastern and North African Muslim students. Imagine what they would do if these people were out protesting black students or protesting, you know, for better treatment of whites or protesting that they wanted a conservative professor to come on and teach. They would be simply expelled. So these students are responsible for what they're doing. We're all responsible for what we do, but they're NPCs. They've been brainwashed. They're basically told this. They have no context because they're not old enough to have learned any context. They don't hear anything but what they're being told by guys like this guy Thrasher. You can't even blame them for their stupidity. It's induced stupidity. I mean, it's like blaming those girls on whatever for destroying their lives. It's the feminism that destroyed their lives. So these are organized protests by leftist chaos merchants, right? They school people in not speaking to the press. And when they do speak to the press, they only speak in terms of compassion, the children, the poor children, the Gazan children, the children. And yeah, war is awful. War, there's nothing good about war except the thing that might happen if you don't fight the war. And we know what that is because we saw it on October 7th. I mean, if you told the story straight, just the facts, it would be obvious to any feeling heart and any thinking mind that the good guy, you know, it really is just the same as the George Floyd riots. It's exactly the same. Any thinking person would say, oh, the police are in the right. This guy was a thug. He was a drug addict. He resisted arrest and it's too bad he got killed and maybe the policing wasn't perfect. But then this guy was, you know, Derek Chauvin was put in prison for murder, which is just a miscarriage of justice. It's obvious. Anyone can see it, except this flood of information because they're being taught that their work is love. Their work is love. Okay. Now, when you look at the connections here, you put the connections together. I think all these people hate Israel. Look at what's happening at UCLA. I think the cops are starting to think about going into UCLA. Just play this in the background, this picture. They're joining in Muslim prayers at UCLA, and they're all on their knees, bowing their faces into the earth to Allah. To Allah, okay? Nothing wrong, in my mind, with a decent human being who is a Muslim. However, that's not what's happening here. You think any of these students, how many of these students do you think even believe in God? How many of these students do you think go to Christian church? How many of them were raised Christian, but now they're being taught to bow to Allah? What would these women think about the way they were treated in Gaza, where if they lipped off, they'd be beaten? How do they think they would feel about the fact that they would have no rights as women in Gaza? It doesn't matter. They're bound. Now, why is that? What is going on? Why are they doing that, okay? They're NPCs, right? Joe Biden, or whoever is working the strings on Joe Biden, is kowtowing to these young people because he thinks that they're Democrat voters, which they are because they're NPCs, they're not thinking for themselves. This week, Peter Doocy, the last reporter in America, asked Karine Jean Identity Hire, he asked, is Biden keeping his mouth shut? Because Biden hasn't said a word. These students are out there. They're breaking into buildings at Columbia. They're breaking into Hamilton Hall until the police cleared them out brilliantly. They're intimidating Jewish students. They're chanting death to America. The president of the United States is happening all across the country. You know it's not happening spontaneously. You know it's being arranged. The president of the United States is not saying a word. So if Doocy asks Karine Jean Identity Hire, is he keeping his mouth shut to appease young voters? Listen carefully to her response to this. Cut five.
Youth and support and voters, that's not something I can do from here. The president has taken a lot of policy actions here that he knows that young people care about. And a lot of those actions are popular with those young folks, whether it's giving a little bit of breathing room with student debt relief. We made an announcement today, matter of fact, and we are going to continue to do that because we think it's important as families or as an American and you coming out of college and you want to build a family, buy a home, you have the opportunity to do that and not be crushed by student debt. The president understands how important it is to deal with that issue.
That's her answer to whether Joe Biden is keeping his mouth shut or was keeping his mouth shut to appease the NPC children who have been turned into little, you know, toys that the pro-Hamas, anti-Israel, anti-West Iranian, pro-Iranian protesters can use to make their points. So finally, Biden does come out because it's humiliating. This clown in the White House is not speaking up for what? Well, let's hear what he did say. This is cut 11.
Violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is. It's against the law when violence occurs. Destroying property is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law. Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations. None of this is a peaceful protest. Threatening people, intimidating people, instilling fear in people is not peaceful protest. It's against the law. Dissent is essential to democracy, but dissent must never lead to disorder or to denying the rights of others so students can finish the semester and their college education.
So, okay, I'm with him. Free speech good, violence bad, right? Has he no opinion on who our allies are? Really? Has he no opinion on whether he wants to defend Iran, because Hamas is Iran? He's not going to take sides here because his work is love. His work is love. He's not going to take sides, but, you know, we don't want to be objective and take sides. He and Barack Obama enriched and empowered Iran, which is Hamas, which wants to destroy Israel because it's Western, and therefore they want to destroy them before destroying us and destroying the West. But the president doesn't have an opinion. It's like talking to your wife. It's not what you said. It's the way you said it. It's the way you said it, folks. So the only thing we've seen here that reminds us of who we are the police who, you know, took over the protesters had taken over Hamilton Hall, the classics department at Columbia University. They cleaned them out of there, took them away. We are in favor of the police all over where they are doing this, any place where they're being expelled. They're not. They're being suspended, which is a slap on the wrist. And they even if they get charged for protesting, they'll be out in a day. They know this is just going to help them. They do this on purpose to get more sympathy. All my sympathy is with the frat boys at Chapel Hill. I was just in Chapel Hill. I just gave a speech there a week ago. And wonderful people, wonderful conservative kids that I talk to. These are frat boys. They took down the American flag and put out the flag of Palestine, which is Hamas, which is Iran, which wants to destroy America. The frat boys went out there. They not only put the flag back up, the American flag back up, they stood there with their hands upraised, holding the flag up while people threw things at them and, you know, yelled at them and screamed at them. One of them was interviewed on Fox News, cut two.
I love America. I love that side of America. It's like we all just kind of connected our brains and stood there protecting one thing. And we all were like, we all were looking at every direction. If stuff was flying in, we would say heads up. We would cover each other. We would look out for other people. We would swap. We had like for an hour, and our hands did hurt. Our arms did hurt. It was like a arm day for me that day. It was no gym happened that day afterwards. It was exhausting. You know, I remember we were all standing in there and I think I made a joke. I was like, oh, I don't know if it's a joke, but I was like, I'd die for this flag. And everybody was like, yeah, if they get any closer, we're going to start throwing hands. Like, we're not going anywhere. I don't care. They're going to have to tear me off this flag, like by my dead body.
Yeah. So here's a kid and a bunch of kids who are willing to throw hands to fight back against these people, but not the president, not the press, not the left, not the Groypers who also hate Israel, the far right anti-Jew people. All of these people have one target, which is liberty. I think we should elect that kid president. You know, when they first asked me to advertise Beam Dream, I looked at the ingredients and said, I'm not just going to sell these. I got to look them all up. And I looked them all up. And in fact, they help you fall asleep. And now Beam Dream people want me to always read the ingredients and they're hard to pronounce. So I read them because I know that they work. I know that they work, but they want you to know what they are. So I'm going to tell you this: reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin. They will help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. I know this. I try them. They help me fall asleep, which is kind of amazing when you consider how little I sleep. This is not just a run-of-the-mill sleep aid. It will help you slip into sleep without the grogginess that often accompanies other sleep remedies. Sleep is the foundation of our mental and physical health. That's why I'm such a wreck. You must have a consistent nighttime routine to function at your best. Today, my listeners get a special discount on Beam's Dream Powder, their best-selling hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar, now available in delicious flavors like cinnamon cocoa, chocolate peanut butter, mint chip. Better sleep has never tasted better. Just mix Beam Dream into hot water or milk, stir or froth, and enjoy before bedtime. If you find yourself battling the bedtime blues, give it a shot. Your weary self will thank you. If you want to try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, take advantage of 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/Klavan and use code Klavan at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/Klavan with my promo code Klavan for up to 40% off your order. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking Beam. Anyone can spell Beam. How? Oh, how? Please tell me how. Do you spell Klavan as K-L-A-V-A-N? Chapter 2, Bad Character of Judge. You've heard of Bad Judge of Character. So this is Bad Character of Judge. Another front on this war against the West, against your freedom, right? Now, you probably know that Donald Trump, at his trial, his absurd trial in Manhattan, was fined $9,000 and threatened with prison for violating the gag order put on him by Juan, I'm Juan for Biden, Merchan, the judge, right? Here's Trump's, let's just listen to Trump's reaction.
This gag order is not only unique, it's totally unconstitutional. I'm the Republican candidate for President of the United States. I received this honor in record time. Nobody's ever gone faster. It's never happened. Nobody's ever got the numbers that we got. And I'm sitting in a courthouse all day long listening to this stuff. And everybody knows, as far as everybody is concerned, if you read the great legal scholars and experts, everybody said this is a trial that is nonsense. It should have never been brought. That's showing loud and clear. But you have a judge who's totally conflicted, totally, absolutely conflicted, that he's rushing this case through. I'll tell you what, somebody just told me they've never sat for such a long period of time in a courthouse before. It's ridiculous.
So, all right, before we decide whether Trump is right, whether this judge, I hate Trump, Merchant is biased in any way, let's just make sure we understand the terrible, terrible crime that Donald Trump committed, which was retweeting, among other things, Jesse Waters, which, yeah, just because of Jesse Waters in general should be a crime, but this is what Waters said that violated the gag order, cut 12.
They are trying to rig this jury. They are catching undercover liberal activists lying to the judge. They're saying, oh, have you ever said anything on social media about Donald Trump? No, I can't remember. Well, what about this post where you said he should be in prison? Oh, yeah, that one. Strike. And they keep throwing these undercovers at him. And thank God they're doing their research on these people so far. The jury foreman is a guy born in Ireland. And then my other hope is a guy born in Puerto Rico with grandkids. The rest of them are corporate lawyers with DEI all over their firms' websites. And you have a 20-year-old white girl who works for Disney and likes to dance.
Clearly true. Clearly true. The people lie to get on this jury. They're all getting their news from the New York Times. Some of them said, I get my news from the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, as if I read the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. They don't. They read the New York Times. I'm sure this was true. And I'm sure that's why they want to shut Donald Trump down, which is why they almost always want to shut down. They don't want to shut him down when he's making a fool of himself. They want to shut him down when he's speaking the simple truth. Here is Andy McCarthy from NRO, National Review. He is always, always the smartest guy in the room when it comes to legal stuff. Now, you remember, last week, I read you the Fifth Amendment, which guarantees anybody the right to be told what he's being charged with, which Trump has not been in this case, right? He has not been he has not been told. He's been told basically that he's being charged because he changed he wrote legal expenses on money that went to Stormy Daniels for her blackmail, her extortion of Donald Trump. She said, I'm going to talk about our affair during the campaign, if you don't pay me off. So he paid her off and then said, since it was paid through his lawyer, he said, these are legal expenses, which Hillary Clinton got fined for doing something far, far worse, but the same kind of thing, but it really was bad. But this is worse. It's a felony because they did this. Trump did this to cover up a crime. He falsifies records to cover up a crime. What crime, you may ask?
I don't know. They don't want to tell you, can't tell. We don't know what the crime is.
They don't tell you what the crime is, so he doesn't know. So this is what Andy McCarthy says. He says, DA, Democrat Alvin Bragg, and by the way, McCarthy is no ever-Trumper. He goes after Trump all the time. He's a very fair observer. He says, Democratic DA Alvin Bragg doesn't have much of a case, but he has the judge, and that's all he needs. Judge Juan Merchant is orchestrating Trump's conviction of a crime that is not actually charged in the indictment, conspiracy to violate the Federal Election Campaign Act. This should not be possible in the United States, where the Constitution's Fifth Amendment mandates that an accused may only be tried for a felony offense if it has been outlined with specificity in an indictment approved by a grand jury that has found probable cause for that offense. McCarthy also noted, I know I got the Fifth Amendment one, but he also noted that this is against the New York Constitution because they are even more pointed in saying you have to describe the crime, and the crime has to be a crime that can be charged in New York, which federal crimes can't be. And this is Andy talking to Megyn Kelly.
We're talking about a New York penal statute that a New York prosecutor has to be able to enforce. So it's got to be a New York law. But what they're saying is, nope, it just says another crime, so it could be any other crime. So as I pointed out, by their logic, it could be a Sharia crime. It could be a crime against the penal laws of China. For all I know, it could be a crime against the criminal laws of the Roman Empire, because there's nothing in it that says that the crime still has to be in existence. It just has to be another crime. That's ridiculous. But it's more ridiculous than I thought it was, because over the last couple of days, I've done some research into the New York Constitution, and they're more exacting than even I am.
So here's McCarthy writing in NRO. Yet, Judge Merchant, to continue this thought, yet Judge Merchant has swallowed whole Bragg's theory that he can enforce FECA. The judge not only ruled pre-trial that Bragg could prove the uncharged federal crime, he has abetted Bragg's prosecutors in their framing of the case for the jury as a criminal conspiracy, notwithstanding that no conspiracy is actually charged in the indictment under either federal or state law. This is a frame-up. Every word that Donald Trump comes out of there and says, it's a frame up, it's a kangaroo court, it's all true. Trump is not even exaggerating. I don't even know how Trump could exaggerate. I mean, even Trump could not make this hyperbolic. It is so unfair. It is simply an attack on Donald Trump. And here's how the New York Times, a former newspaper, ran this in its opinion page on Knucklehead Row by Rebecca Royf, a former assistant district attorney in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, saying, this is an important and straightforward case, albeit workmanlike and unglamorous. She says, it's not about what they're telling you about. After the smoke created by lawyers has cleared, it will be easy to see why the prosecution is both solid and legitimate. The case is about preventing wealthy people from using their businesses to commit crimes and hide from accountability. Well, Royf went to Columbia, so her job is love. What the hell is she even talking about? I mean, this is an amazing, and I just got back from New York. I was in New York all week for the Edgar Awards and the parties around the Edgar Awards for mystery writing. And when I'm in New York, I get to talk to liberals, and they buy this stuff totally. They buy it totally. They read the New York Times. They think it's the news. And the New York Times, it's not objectivity. Their job is love. So meanwhile, new video has been released from Wednesday, a deposition. Oh, I'm sorry, this is Wednesday a year ago. My mistake. A deposition shows Mark Pomerantz giving testimony to the House Judiciary Select Committee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government, right? Matt Gaetz is asking Pomerantz the question. He is Pomerantz is a former Alvin Bragg assistant who investigated Donald Trump. Here he is talking to Matt Gaetz.
On the advice of counsel, I'm not going to answer that question, sir. Privilege against self-incrimination.
And did you knowingly break any laws when investigating President Trump?
Objection. Same response.
Did you break any laws when you worked at the Manhattan District Attorney's Office?
Objection. Same response.
Ms. Pomerantz, did you violate any person's constitutional rights when you worked on the Trump investigation?
Objection.
I have the same response to your question.
Mr. Pomerantz, did you violate any person's constitutional rights while you worked at the Manhattan DA's office?
Objection.
Same answer.
Did you misuse any federal funds while investigating President Trump?
Same response.
Did you misuse any federal funds while you were working in the Manhattan District Attorney's office?
Same response.
And did you violate any New York State bar rules while you were investigating President Trump?
Objection.
Same response.
So you got a dirty judge supporting a dirty prosecutor, bringing a case that's against the Fifth Amendment and the New York Constitution. And this guy refusing to answer questions under the Fifth Amendment like a gangster. He sounds like a gangster. He sounds just like, I got nothing to say. I got the Fifth Amendment right. It's my Fifth Amendment right to not say that I broke the law in every which way when I was investigating Donald Trump. I had nothing to say. It's my, he sounds like Gotti, sounds like one of these gangsters. Now, on top of this has been going on since before Trump was president, when he was running for president. We know that this whole Russia collusion hoax, right, was the product of a hand-picked I'm reading from Holman Jenkins Jr., a very, very underrated, terrific columnist. This was the product of a hand-picked interagency team, the widely touted intelligence finding that Russia sought to elect Mr. Trump. That Russia, remember this, that Russia was hoping that Trump would get elected? This was the product of a hand-picked interagency team led by Obama CIA Director John Brennan. Hand-picking is what you do to assure a predetermined conclusion. If new reporting is correct, the prevailing agency view at the time was actually that Mr. Putin preferred Hillary Clinton as the more predictable partner. So the CIA knew that Putin preferred Hillary, but said and reported that Putin preferred Trump. This new reporting he's talking about comes from Michael Schellenberger at Public Substack. And he says multiple credible sources tell Public that the United States intelligence community, including the Central Intelligence Agency, illegally mobilized foreign intelligence agencies to target Trump advisors long before the summer of 2016. So what they did, what Schellenberger calls the Five Eyes, this is the U.S., these are intelligence agencies in the U.S., in U.K., in Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, were sent out to find people associated with Trump and do what's called bumping them, basically trying to get them to say things that they could use to claim that Trump was in collusion with Russia, which he wasn't, and Russia wanted Hillary to be the nominee. Here is, again, on Jesse Waters, here is Schellenberger explaining this.
There's actually two separate intelligence scandals here for people to keep in mind. The first one happened earlier in 2016, where our sources, multiple sources tell us that Brennan oversaw manipulation of our foreign allies to basically entrap Trump associates to create the pretext for the FBI investigation of Trump supposed alleged collusion with Russia, which we now know is debunked. The second thing is, almost a year later, Brennan orchestrates a phony intelligence assessment that comes to the opposite conclusion of what their own raw intelligence, their best intelligence was showing. These are two massive, massive intelligence scandals.
So you have the president's handpicked CIA head, communist John Brennan, he's a communist, sending spies into the field to coerce information about a presidential candidate. This is the CIA running an intelligence operation on American citizens to skew an election. That's what it is. And to skew and to basically cripple the presidency. I mean, forget about the election. They were trying to cripple the Trump presidency with their investigation into this fake Russian collusion. Meanwhile, the reporters aren't reporting on this except for Michael Schellenberger on Substack because their job is love. Universities educating leftists to make war on the West because Israel is the cat's paw of the West being fought by Iran, which is Hamas, which is trying to destroy America, which is trying to destroy the West, your freedom, the things that make you let you speak as you want to speak, the thing that allow women to do the things that women choose for themselves to do. And yet, at UCLA, the left is bowing to Allah, who wouldn't let them choose to do anything if the Islamists had their way. They are all in this together. They don't even agree with each other, but they all have one goal. We're going to keep talking about it. Are you looking for the perfect Mother's Day gift that will make the women in your life feel pampered and appreciated? You better be. Try Genucel. They have you covered. Genucel is offering an extra 25% off in honor of their 25th anniversary. This makes this already awesome Mother's Day sale their biggest sale yet. If you haven't tried Genucel, a great place to start is with their most popular package. You know, because it's their most popular package. This package features their Gen 90 serum, which instantly erases the wrinkles around your eyes, forehead, and mouth. It also includes their top-selling under-eye bags and puffiness serum, as well as their jawline treatment for a more contoured, defined jawline like mine. Genucel is so confident in their product that they guarantee you'll see results in less than 12 hours or you'll get your money back. Celebrate the special woman in your life this Mother's Day with the world's best skincare at a once-in-a-lifetime price. Visit Genucel.com/Klavan for an additional 25% off Genucel's already amazing Mother's Day sale. And right now, in your order, Genucel will include a free spa box with two bonus gifts and free shipping. Don't wait. This sale won't last long. They have limited inventory available. That's Genucel.com/Klavan. Genucel.com/Klavan. How do you spell it? K-L-A-V-A-N. No E's in Klavan. I just make it look this easy.
There are no E's in Klavan.
Chapter 3, Your Lying Eyes. Now, here's the other thing. Not only do we have no context, so that they're reporting day by day on this Trump trial, but the Trump trial is actually the end of a long process of lies and cheating and dishonesty and corruption that when it's reported, they try to gag Trump from reporting it, but no one else is going to report it. They are reporting on these protests as if they were just innocent students with their hearts in the right place, standing up for the poor Gazans against the, you know, war from the Israelis. When in fact, if you step back and look at it, Israel is fighting for its life, which is in some sense the life of the West in the Middle East, which is in some sense the only thing standing between Iran and taking over the Middle East, in which case you will then have an entire continent set upon destroying us. So the country's in bad shape right now, right? The crime is bad. The economy is bad. But these same people, the reporter, the press, keeps telling us that it's your lying eyes. What you're seeing is not there. Because their job is not objectivity, folks. Their job is love. Their job is love. It's an immense gaslight. There's a poll, a Brookings poll, finds that 26% of the electorate rates economic conditions as excellent or good, 26%, while 73% regard them as just fair or poor, right? So 73% see things are not going so well in the economy. But they keep telling us it's great. Biden keeps telling us it's great. The press keeps telling us it's great. And now the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, said the Fed is not going to raise interest rates, even though inflation has gone up. Here is what Powell said, cut nine.
What's happened since December is you've seen higher goods inflation than expected, and you've seen higher non-housing services inflation than expected, and those two are working together to sort of be higher than we had thought. And there are stories behind how that happened. And you know, I think my expectation is that we will, over the course of this year, see inflation move back down. That's my forecast. I think my confidence in that is lower than it was because of the data that we've seen.
So you remember when he said it was transitory, inflation was transitory. So now he's telling you, he's telling you it's transitory, saying the same thing over again. You know, never mind the first quarter slowdown in the GDP. You know, now it's down to 1.6. He said the labor markets continue to be good, but one in four workers are afraid of losing their jobs. This is, all sounds good for Biden. He's telling you things are good for Biden. He's basically telling you that, oh, you know, inflation is not caused by the government spending too much, which is what causes inflation. Is government spending too much, printing money to cover their debts, and then the money becomes worth less. That's what causes inflation. He's telling you it's because of pandemic stuff, you know, the pandemic stuff, the supply chain. You could hear he was talking about goods coming through. It's the supply chain. Just not true. It's just not true. So everything we're seeing with our eyes, you know, they're telling us is not true. So who are you going to, I mean, why would you believe your lying eyes when their job is love? Jeff Anderson, writing at City Journal, has been doing a great job. He's from the American Main Street Initiative. We interviewed him. He was one of our interviews here. He has been doing a great job covering the fact that crime is in fact going up. He says the best available figures, he's a statistician. He was one of Trump's statisticians. He says the best available figures from the Bureau of Justice Statistics National Crime Victimization Survey show a whopping 58% rise in violent crime in urban areas from 2019, before the summer of George Floyd, BLM, and the Defund the Police crusade, to 2022, the most recent year for which finalized federal statistics are available. So those are the last time we have the statistics. The numbers are even worse on closer inspection. If one removes from that period the bar fights and other similar encounters that make up much of the simple assault category, urban areas have seen a 73% spike in more serious violent crimes. That's a huge rise in violence in the nation's cities that the media aren't interested in acknowledging. This is happening all over. You know, it's happening all over, but they're telling you it's not. So this is all part of the same thing. Who are you going to believe? The media or your lying eyes. When you hear that the Hamas raped women to death, killed babies, set them on fire, set children on fire, killed old people, bragged about it, laughed about it, and then they tell you, oh, this poor God, it's the Gazans, the innocent people in Gazans, that's the problem. That is the problem. Who are you going to believe, the media or your lying eyes? Here are some great things. Sitting behind home plate at a baseball game, being courtside at a basketball game, sitting front row at your favorite concert. When you want to do stuff like that, you have to act quickly or someone else will get what you want. It's the same when you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them. What's the best way to do that? You know, ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Klavan. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of the most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best talent fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Klavan. Try it for free. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Klavan. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Hire someone smart enough to spell Klavan so you can use ZipRecruiter. It's K-L-A-V-A-N.
There are no easy things.
Final chapter, The Invisible Man. Now, I'm going to tie all this together in a way that you will not hear anywhere else. You will not hear what I'm going to say to you from anybody else ever. And I'm right. I'm right about this. I'm 100% right about it. And I remember I told you that you should go to my Substack, the one I do with Spencer Klavan, no relation, thenewjerusalem.substack.com, to read this piece that anti-Semitism is the devil's flagpole. And it's something that I've said on the air and I've talked about it on the air, but it's just all laid out. So you can see my argument and follow my argument, why I'm saying what I say. It doesn't seem to bother anyone that leftists, communists, Islamists, you know, leftists who believe in the rights of women and the rights of gays, Islamists who basically enslave women and kill gays, Groypers who hate Jews, but are supposed to be on the far right. They're all supposed to be big Trump supporters and right-wingers and conservatives. They're all on the same side. They all hate Israel, every single one of them. Now, Israel must be pretty bad. I've been to Israel. I've only been once, but it's a lovely country full of all kinds of different people who are all treated fairly. Muslim people, I think, make up 20% of the population. They hold high office. They're on television. They are treated completely fairly, just like everybody else. The citizens, those who are citizens of Israel, not in occupied territories. It is a free country. You can tell it's a free country. If you go to the Middle East is a very foreign place. Israel is a very foreign place, but it's much more like a Western place because it's run by the Jews. Okay. Anti-Semitism, hatred of Jews, is hatred of Christ. It is hatred of Jesus Christ. And if you read my Substack thing, it's called "The Devil." Anti-Semitism is the Devil's Flagpole. I will lay it out for you step by step, but I'll tell it to you very quickly now. Christianity spread Jewish values through barbaric tribes that had different values altogether. Pagans, barbarians, they had different values. Christianity spread Jewish values. Justice, humility, charity, the rights of women, the fact that women are also made in the image of God, very big one. Love your enemy. Don't necessarily go right to the, you know, to war. It's like it's not a pacifist religion, but it is a religion that says, see your enemy, know your enemy, love your enemy. Do not go out in hatred. If you have to kill to defend yourself, that's one thing. Very, very different than what the barbarians and the pagans were doing up to those times. Now, there were divisions between the Jews, not just the Jews and the Christians, but Gentiles and the Christians. If you read Paul, he says the Jews who don't believe in Jesus are against us, but also the Gentiles are against us. They were a small cult and everybody was against them. However, over time, those differences, which were real and historic, those differences were used as a mask for a hatred of Christianity, which had colonized the hearts of pagans and barbarians, right? They didn't want to surrender their values of war, of beating women, of raping and carrying off women, and then declaring, oh, you're now married to me because I raped you. That's something the church put an end to. They didn't want those values in their hearts, and they hated the Jews because the Jews were the ones, because Jesus was a Jew, and these were Jewish values. Now, this became clear after Christianity receded enough in Europe, after they lost faith enough, where you could openly attack Christianity. You couldn't do that during the Middle Ages because the church was too powerful. As in the 1800s, as Germany was very late to become a nation, there was first the Holy Roman Empire, and Germany was not a nation until late in the 1800s. And as that was happening, the Germans started to think, what is German identity? Who are we? And a lot of them started to say, you know, this Christianity is really Jewish. This is, we don't like the Jews because they gave us Christianity and it is against who we are. It is against our identity as Germans. Arthur Schopenhauer, one of the most influential German philosophers, he believed that Jesus was okay. He liked Jesus and he liked what he was saying, but he thought Christianity was the Jews polluting Jesus with their religion. That they gave him all these religious dogmas. And Arthur Schopenhauer was not a believer in God, and so he thought this was bad. He blamed the Jews. And he said this, listen carefully to what he said. It is to be regarded generally as a great misfortune that the people whose former culture was to serve mainly as the basis of our own were not, say, the Indians or the Greeks or even the Romans, but just these Jews. In other words, Germany, the German culture, had been shaped by Jews because it had been shaped by Christianity. Friedrich Nietzsche, the same thing, famous, obviously great philosopher, brilliant man. He rejected Christian values. He said Christianity is a morality for slaves because it supports the weak. We need a Superman to come and give us better morals that are, you know, that support the successful, basically. And he said it was the Jews who had performed the miracle of the inversion of valuations. So it was the Jews who were to blame. And even though Nietzsche was actually kind of a nice guy, he said these things without saying, you know, I'm not trying to be anti-Semitic, because he wasn't, but it was used, Nietzsche became the kind of mascot of the Nazis. Composer Richard Wagner, very important figure in trying to bring back the Norse gods, trying to bring back the native gods of Germany, hated the Jews with such a passion that even fellow anti-Semites thought he had gone too far. And this was what was in play when Hitler took power. This was what was the thinking that was in play with Hitler's hatred of the Jews. His minister of church affairs, Hans Kerl, said, "The idea that Christianity consists of faith in Christ makes me laugh. I laugh at people who think Christianity is about Christ. God's will reveals itself in German blood. True Christianity is represented by the Nazi Party and especially by the Führer, not by Christ." The hatred of Jews is the hatred of the one Jew. It's just the hatred of the big Jew in the sky. That's all it is. And, you know, it's not about, oh, the Jews killed Christ. That's not even an English sentence. The people who said things like that in the Bible did not mean the Jews, because what does that even mean? They meant the Jewish authorities, like attacking the church. Now, it was very clear where this was headed. It didn't just happen in the 1930s when Hitler rose. Toward the end of the 19th century, the violence against Jews became obscene. There had always been violence against Jews, but now it became obscene. Russia took over some land that had Jews, annexed land that had Jews in it, and the pogroms began that were terrible. I mean, unbelievable. If you read about one of the pogroms, what was it called? It was... let me see if I can find that. I cannot find that. Oh, the Kishinev pogrom in 1903, just like the attack of Hamas on October 7th, the rapes, the continual rapes, raping again and again until people died. That was what happened at the Kishinev pogrom in 1903. The Jews knew they had to get out of Europe before the Holocaust. They knew it was coming in 1903. They knew it was coming. That's when the idea that they needed a state of their own came into being. That is why they were talking about a state of their own, because they were just being slaughtered and they knew it was going to get worse and worse and worse. And when Hitler did rise, he was a big hit in the Middle East. There was no Israel. There was no state of Israel then. There were just Jews living there, and they had been given citizenship through the British, who had been controlling the area. When the British left, they were left with a bunch of Jews who now had citizenship. In Iraq, they had their pogroms were called the Farhud, right? This was a mob outbreak of mob violence against Baghdad Jewry, the Farhud. It's an Arabic term. It means pogrom, basically. That was 1941. It was a turning point in the history of the Jews in Iraq. So this is before Israel. They were killing the Jews before Israel. Why? Because they hated the influence of this religion on Europe, and the religion was not Judaism. Judaism had no influence in Europe. It was Christianity. They hated Christ. There was one Jew they hated. They took it out on all the Jews. You know, this is the thing. What binds, why is it the Groypers and the leftists and the Islamists, all of whom should be in incredible disagreement, are all praising each other and all working in tandem? And Obama is part of it. You know, Obama with his pro-Iranian schedule and his CIA, reinventing the CIA to attack the West, basically, attack us. Now, what happened to Nietzsche's philosophy when he said Christianity is a slave religion, we need a religion, we need a morality that's built on by supermen? This was read by a guy, a French philosopher named Michel Foucault. He read Nietzsche in 1953. He was in Italy with his boyfriend, a composer named Jean Borac, and he read Nietzsche on lying on the beach, and Nietzsche wrote of how men were bound by fear to custom and opinions. They couldn't get rid of this and understand that everything was just power structures. It was just power structures. Your morality was just a power structure to keep people in power. Nietzsche said Foucault was a revelation. He says, I read him with a great passion and broke with my life. I had the feeling I had been trapped. Through Nietzsche, I had become a stranger to all that. And by all that, he means morality, the morality of Christianity. It was everything had to be gotten rid of. So Foucault, what did Foucault do? He traveled to San Francisco. He was a gay masochist. He traveled to San Francisco and began to try to destroy the power structures within himself by having masochistic sex of a type that I simply cannot describe in the air. It is far too violent and disgusting to describe on the air. And Foucault said, there is a creation of anarchy within the body where its hierarchies, its localizations and designations, its organicity, if you will, is in the process of disintegrating. He got rid of all those imposed structures of power and he died of AIDS. In other words, he got rid of everything, including himself. That, Foucault, is where we get this intersectionality, this idea that people who have power are always wrong and people who don't have power are always right, because they're trying to destroy all those power structures. That is why Israel, a civilized country that treats women well, that treats gay people well, that treats everybody really, even the Muslims in their midst, their citizens in their midst, treats all of them fairly and equally, why they are the enemy, why, well, Iran, which is a slave state, a terrorist state that wants to destroy everything you have, everything these people have, it wants to destroy. Why they're in solidarity. This is insane. Why they think Iran are the good guys and Israel are the bad guys. Because Israel are white adjacent because they're essentially a cat's paw of America, and Iran is brown and Muslim and we're not, so they have less power. It all comes from Foucault, de Sade, the Marquis de Sade, who influenced Foucault too, Nietzsche, Hitler, the Islamists, Foucault, the American left, all of it, an unbroken chain of hostility against one man, Jesus Christ. And that's what you're seeing. That is what you're seeing in these campuses. That is what you're seeing in the press. That is what you're seeing from Barack Obama and his little sidekick, Joe Biden. It is all about the Christian world, which is a world of freedom, a world that supports the poor, a world of the rights of women, a world like the world has never been before, better than it's ever been before. And all they want, every single one of them, the Groypers, the left, the Islamists, and the press who serve them, it's what they want to destroy. At last, the time is nearly here. Sunday, May 12th, we at The Daily Wire are charting a new course with our inaugural animated series, Mr. Burcham. And we're offering the series premiere absolutely free for everyone to watch exclusively on Daily Wire Plus. Mr. Burcham comes from the brilliant comedic mind of Adam Carolla. Burcham is a junior high woodshop teacher who's holding the line against the onslaught of contemporary insanity. He's a throwback. He's hard-nosed. And he's not about to let his nemesis, the rabid social justice warrior Carponzi, dictate how he runs his classroom or his life. And of course, our friend and show creator Adam Carolla has assembled an unprecedented cast of talent for the series, including Megyn Kelly, Roseanne Barr, Sage Steele, Danny Trejo, Kyle Dunnigan, Patrick Warburton, Tyler Fisher, our very own Brett Cooper, plus a host of others. Take a look at the official Mr. Burcham trailer right now.
Just tell me what you need.
Jumping in the first one.
Rolling, speed, action.
Sawbuck's looking a little chubby wubby.
So I bought him some new food.
It's organic and vegan.
Dogs are supposed to eat meat. They're descendants of wolves. You ever see a vegan wolf on the Nature Channel?
I'm a vegan.
Coffee is for closers, ladies. Listen up!
Hey, don't make this a prison hug.
I'm a heteronormative, cisgendered white male.
For which I apologize.
I'm black, and that used to be enough, but I'm also bilingual, and I'm non-binary.
We're the Army! We drink more before 9 a.m. than you Navy pukes do all day.
He rubbed all the fur off his emotional support ferret. The damn thing looked like a four-legged penis.
charity and work. Two words that should never go together. Like women and opinions.
I want a burly man. They're salty and make me dizzy.
Sorry, I just need to find a thingy to fix my gaming chair.
When I was on the construction site, my chair was a 5-gallon bucket. It was also my toilet.
Hey, I'm done. I'm going back to bed. Thanks a lot.
Get ready for the sharp, incisive comedy that only Adam Carolla and The Daily Wire could conjure up. Don't miss out on the series premiere streaming free on Sunday, May 12th at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on Daily Wire Plus.
Burgers are one of the most popular foods in America. You've probably eaten one recently, and you're definitely craving one now that we're talking about it. Make this summer one to remember with Good Ranchers. Right now, listeners will get free Wagyu burgers for a year. If you haven't had their American Wagyu burgers, I was just telling people here in the office, you're definitely missing out. My mouth is watering just thinking about it. Simply go to goodranchers.com and subscribe to any of their custom curated boxes filled with 100% American beef, chicken, pork, or wild caught seafood. Use code DAILYWIRE at checkout to claim your free American Wagyu burgers for a year. Not only is this a $400 value, but you'll also get a free bacon butter gift that's the perfect bacon topping for any burger. And in case you needed any other reason to support Good Ranchers, they support Paralyzed Veterans of America. Every order you make saves American farms and directly supports American veterans. Change the way you buy your meat today. Go to goodranchers.com and use code DAILYWIRE to claim your free burgers for a year and support veterans this Memorial Day season. That's goodranchers.com. Use code DAILYWIRE. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
All right, Clavin Clapbacks.
From the river to the sea, Palestine will be just free.
Yeah!
God, at least I was honest. So I got a lot of letters. I have two of them here, basically saying the same thing. One is from Michael, and they're very civilized, very intelligent letters that I really appreciate the respectful and thoughtful way that they were written. Basically criticizing me and Ben for occasionally taking on people on the right. Michael says, I've noticed over the past few months on numerous episodes of both Ben and Andrew's shows, as well as public statements on X, a significant amount of energy being dedicated to debunking conspiracy theories and specifically targeting the comments of prominent right-wing pundits, probably talking about Tucker Carlson. Rob says the same thing. I've been a fan of both your work and Spencer Clavin's, no relation, for a long time. I've bought many copies of your books for friends, but here's the thing. How does it profit us to turn everyone outside of the Daily Wire into an enemy, lumping Tucker Carlson in with AOC, et cetera? Really, a little humility would go a long way. Listen, I am really sympathetic to this point of view, and the last thing I want to be doing is sitting around fighting with people on the right. Here is my viewpoint. I know I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. I think we're winning. I think with the Daily Wire leading the way, there's just no question about it, that the culture is turning. I don't know if we can win, but I know we're winning. They're falling back. They have to, because everything they touch turns to crap. And I don't want to spend time bugging Tucker or anybody else on the right, if they are on the right. But we have to stand for something. And sure, I'm not worried about isolationism. You know, I don't think isolationism is a real thing. You know, I don't think it's a realistic philosophy. I don't think isolationism is as bad as what the left is doing. But I do think that supporting a thug like Putin and saying he's not so bad in order to maintain your isolationism is really bad. I really think the idea that maybe we shouldn't get involved in a war in the Middle East, I can see that. But when what it's really saying is that Israel should die, I'm concerned about that. I don't want to force anybody's, I don't want to stop anybody's free speech in the least, but I do want to take a point of view. I understand that it's not good for us to be divided, but it also is not good for us to stand for nothing. It's not good for us to stand simply for winning. We have to win, but we have to win as who we are, because if we don't win as who we are, what are we fighting for? What were we fighting for if we're just as bad as the left? I think that really at the heart of this is the Christian culture that created the idea of freedom, the idea of the individual, the idea that there is an individual who can become happy by doing what's right. These are important things that didn't exist before Christianity was there. Some of them did, some of them didn't, some of them are fresh. That's what we're fighting for. We're fighting for a culture that has been an idea that has been ripped out of our culture. And it does us no good if all we're saying is we're going to replace your hate with our hate. We're going to replace your smallness and censorship with our censorship. That is not going to help. We are so close. We are so close to explode. You know, to be honest with you, if I could magically get the billionaires to fund the kinds of outlets that we need, we'd win tomorrow. I'll talk about this more on Member Block, but that's why one of the reasons you should become a member today, all right? Because otherwise you're going to be Clavenless. It's painful. You heard us, the comment at the beginning of the show. It's a terrible, terrible place to be, Clavenlessness, but you will go there. I will talk more about the fact that it's really frustrating to me. We're so close to winning the culture in a big way, but I don't know if we're going to do it. And one of the things that could stop us is allowing these hateful people, I'm not talking about Tucker, but just allowing lies and hatefulness and stupidity to become the brand of our philosophy. That's not what we're here to do. Become a member today. Go to dailywire.com/subscribe and use code Klavan at checkout for 2 months free on all annual plans. If you are not a member, farewell. I can't even bear to watch what's going to happen to you now. If you are a member, come on over to Member Block.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.